So hello, everybody, and welcome to our very special bonus call that we put together for CMDS folks, and of course invited any PT folks, because you get invited to everything we do. And this was intended to be a presentation to help you with, okay, now that you've gone through the materials in the program and really mastered, or, you know, semi-mastered the concept of helping people balance their digestion, now what? Like, what do you do with this information? And it's really important that you don't just keep everything under wraps, that you share. And as you're learning, that you share with your community. Even if you don't feel like you have it perfect or right, you're always multiple steps ahead of the people in your community, most of them anyway, unless they're gastroenterologists, in which case you're ahead of them in a lot of ways too, because you're ahead of them in ways that we know they know you are learning ways to actually balance the digestive system instead of drug it or cut pieces of it out. So you're really steps ahead of just about anybody that you're going to talk to about digestion, unless there's some, you know, sort of digestion master, and then those aren't going to be your clients, right? So your ideal clients are always going to be those folks that are at least a few steps behind you, right? And you're going to learn based on what you learn in the program and what you learn in all the other ways that you learn from us in our community, is that you want to take what you know and help people to apply it to their lives. And when you can do that, you can build your clientele, you can build your practice, and you can get people in that you can help. And that's what we're here for, right? We're here to really transform our broken disease management system into a true healthcare system. And what the biggest thing that most folks in the mainstream medicine don't look at is they don't look at the interaction between the different body systems. And of course, digestion really is at the basis of almost all conditions, right? We see people with eczema. Most likely there's a digestive component to that, right? We see people with autoimmune disease, MS or Sjogren's or hypothyroidism, thyroiditis. That's most likely got a digestive component to it. We see people with nutrient imbalances, nutrient insufficiencies. Most likely, there's a digestive component, because most people who are, let's just say, educated will eat enough of the nutrients. They just can't get them into the system, right? So there's all sorts of ways that we can support people, not just with the digestion. Our goal is to educate people so that they make the connection between their MS and their digestive tract, their skin problem and their digestive tract, their headaches and their digestive tract. And we're not saying that every single other symptom or a disease that people are suffering from is related to digestion, but there's a really good chance that many, if not most, of them are. So what I want to do with today's talk is to help you guys to take what you've learned in the Digestive Mastery Program and take it out to your community, and take it out in such a way that you're attracting people who are of like mind, who see you as an invaluable resource to help them get well. Now, this in particular is related to digestive system, because that's the program that we offered this with. We offered this with the Digestive Mastery Program. But the truth of the matter is, you can take any of your knowledge and you can decide that you're going to niche what you do to a certain group of people and address their problem. And most of the time, no matter what their problem is, you can tie it back into the digestive tract. So as I teach you ways to take the information you've learned and get it out to the community, I want you to keep in mind how, say, you are that your niche market, your avatar, is a woman who's approaching her 50s, who's having horrific problems with hot flashes and menopause symptoms. I want you to be able to create a presentation and title the presentation so that you attract those people you want, but you tie it back in to the digestive tract. I once did a presentation, a webinar that was very well attended. We had thousands of people attend it. That was labeled something related to the connection between sex drive. I think it was sex drive, your appearance, skin health, and energy, and your digestion, right? And the sex drive was like, what? What the heck does my sex drive have to do with my digestion? And the more you know about the digestion and how it affects everything, the more you can connect the dots So what I'm going to teach you today, just take what I'm giving you and, you know, loosely construct what's going to work for you to attract the people that you want to attract. If you're going after executives, right, you're going to word this in such a way as how this affects their work performance and their ability to get promoted on their job, their ability to be sharp and clear and addressing their digestion, right? So you could turn this around and you can say, I want to do blood sugar. And you can relate blood sugar to the executives and the, how sharp they are and how, you know, on target they are, right? You can turn this around and take the core, when you think about my pyramid, right? The pyramid, the core pieces, which are digestion and blood sugar, you can relate them to pretty much everything. So before we get started, what I'd love you to do, if you have any specifics that you want to make sure I address in the presentation, just go ahead and put them in the chat. Like, you know, you may not even know yet, but as we're going through, just put some of those questions as they come up into the chat. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to start a backup recording just in case. I did start a recording there. Okay. So I'm going to share my screen and my screen. You should see, just nod your head if you see my screen. And it's got a cover slide, leverage your digestive mastery, right? All right. Okay. So this presentation is called Leverage Your Digestive Mastery. Leverage what you know about the digestion to help you to be known as an expert in your community so that people are going to come and see you, whether it be take a group program with you or coach with you one-on-one or attend a live workshop with you, but somehow enter your community and your fold so that you have the opportunity to help them to solve their major health problems. Highly recommend that before you do any presentation with anybody that you put up some sort of a disclaimer slide. And the disclaimer slide says, like, I am not here to replace your one-on-one relationship with a qualified health professional. I'm not here to give you medical advice. I'm not here to diagnose you or treat you. I'm here to educate you about how to look at your body as a vehicle for signals that are giving us messages about what might be wrong inside and how I'm going to educate you to help take control and rebalance yourself. So you want to make sure that you're always clear from the beginning that there's no diagnosis and no treatment involved. The word I use, the D, I like to replace with a pause because somebody's noisy. And Lynn, I'm going to make you a co-host if you're not already, and so that you can meet people because there's a bunch of either a dog barking or something like that. Do you see it? Finish participants. Okay, there you go. So if you could mute everybody, that would be great. Thank you. All right, so where was I? Yeah, so really important that you establish this. And what I like to say is these are on, if you're not licensed to as a medical practitioner and you're not practicing in your state of jurisdiction as a medical practitioner, then you can't use the D word, which is diagnose, but you can use the D word, which is discovery. I don't see that word anywhere in medicine. Like, oh, let's sit down and have a conversation and a discovery process to determine what's out of balance in your body. No, they go, let's diagnose you, put you in a box so we can decide how to treat you, right? So as long as you're careful about the wording you use, you can help people and you just check with the laws in your own state. So your goal now that you've learned about the digestive system and how it works and how it can go wrong and how we can rebalance it is to educate the public about the overall function of the digestive tract. And, you know, in some cases, it's like it really is nice for them to know where things are because they'll hold their, you know, their upper part of their or their lower part of their abdomen down, you know, near their bladder and say, I have a stomach ache. Right? And so educating them, not that they need to be practitioners and know their anatomy and physiology like the back of their hand, but I like to educate my people so that they know kind of where their organs live. So when they have a specific pain, they get the idea of where that pain or dysfunction may be originating. So it's really important that you educate them. And I want you to do is take what we call the presentation in a box that we've provided with this, which is a set of slides that I've used successfully in the past to educate an audience and then make an offer at the end for them to continue working with me. And so you've got those slides. Highly recommend that you edit the slides and you take my name off and you put yours on and you rearrange them and you put them in a way that makes sense to you. It's just there as a template. Some people have taken them and used them almost exactly as is without my name and done great jobs and educated their community. So it helps you to stand out. I know it takes a while if you've not done PowerPoint presentations before to put together a good PowerPoint presentation. I always like what I call story starters. You know, like they gave you in kindergarten. They didn't just say, now, Johnny, write a story about a pet. Yeah. They give you like a story starter. Now, I start it this way. You know, your pet, I have a pet named, and give you a little bit of a guideline or an outline. And then a five-year-old can write a story, right? You can't just say, write a story about a time that you experienced, you know, an intense emotional trauma and how you overcame it. You don't say that to a five-year-old. I personally like to have story starters, whatever I do, so I know how I get an outline of what I should be presenting. So that's what this is. Use it at your own discretion. Maybe it's too detailed for what you want to teach. Maybe it's something you can take and make three presentations out of because I tend to put a lot in there. Maybe you want to make it more detailed because you're speaking to hospital healthcare workers at a high level and you want to be explaining the hormones of digestion or something so they get it and they see how smart you are. So whatever it is, I would highly recommend you start with that. And then gather a few of your friends, sit them down and do the presentation for them, right? So practice it if you're not comfortable, if you don't do a lot of presentations, just do it in front of some friends and ask them how it went. How does it feel? Good practice, especially if you want to be doing this in a live version, right? In your community. And I'll share with you how to get those kind of bookings done. And then the other thing is that, you know, you can practice it on a webinar, right? There's all kinds of free webinar services. I didn't even list them anymore because they change day to day, week to week. It can be a free thing like this where you can get on. Zoom has free accounts where you can get on for, you know, 45 minutes and do a presentation and invite some of your close friends and relatives to come to it and just give you feedback, right? There's audio only ones. But if you're going to be doing this live in person, if you're going to practice it online, do it on a conference call like this where people can see you, right? And then you can watch the recording and see how you did and go, oh my, I've got to learn to say that better. Boy, I did a good job there. I like the way I said that. It gives you that feedback and that practice. It's way better than doing it in front of a mirror. Has anybody ever tried that? They say, do it in front of a mirror. Ugh, I don't like doing it in front of a mirror. I don't mind doing it on this and I can watch things back. So do it that way and invite your friends. And one of my mentors who is very successful at doing teleseminars, Bill Barron, he said that the first time he did a teleseminar, he created this great presentation and he invited people to come and he got three people to show up and two of them were his relatives. So he did the presentation anyway. He got the feedback. He got the recording. And now he does it for thousands and thousands of people. So just everybody has to start somewhere. And we all started a different place. I was always, my mother called me Sarah Heartburn because I loved to act and to, you know, and that was Sarah Bernhardt was an actress in her day. And she was just teasing me, Sarah Heartburn. I was dramatic and, you know, but I've always loved to do that. Just get up in front of people. I spoke at my graduation. I always took the opportunities to speak. I didn't have that fear of public speaking, but some people, you may have a fear of public speaking. So practice it in a safer environment. If you can do it in front of your friends and family, you can do it in front of anybody because they're probably not the safest environment, but you know, you're not risking your reputation with them. It's probably going to be more critical, which is good. Right? And you have to learn to take criticism, not as I'm bad, I'm no good, I should give up, but hey, here's how I can make it better. I personally, when I ask somebody for feedback on a presentation, when they go, oh, that was awesome, that was great, I'm like, yeah, but tell me what was wrong with it. Tell me how I can fix it, because I feel like I always want to make it better. So feel free at any time, you can tell me how I can make things better. So you want to have people, you want to serve people, you want to give people the best service you possibly can, right? That on a platter, the VIP service. So when they come to talk to you, hear you speak, you want to give them the best of you. You want to give them absolutely the best. And they're going to like that, even if your information isn't great. But if you create an environment that's fun, my first couple that I did in the local environment, I rented a place and I got about 30 people coming in a room. And I made smoothies in advance and I made little chocolates in advance. I was talking about healthy foods. And when I served these little cups with these little delicious, you know, tropical fruit smoothies and little, you know, candies made of chocolate, cacao, raw cacao, they were like, wow, this is really cool. So they got a sense that I wasn't teaching them that they had to live on celery and carrot sticks and lettuce all day long, that they could actually change their diet, change their health, and have delicious food to boot. They felt cared for. They felt served. They had a little handout for them that they could fill out. So think about ways that you can make this a VIP experience for the people that come to hear you. So we want to get your talk out into the community, right? And there's a lot of ways that you can do that, right? We're going to talk the in-person ways, and then we can talk the online ways. So approach local support groups, approach groups you belong to, and rent a space and host your own. So we're going to go into more detail on each of these, but these are three ways. There's probably many others, but I'm just going to go into these three tonight. So you talk at local health support groups. So you look and you look to, is there a local chapter of the Celiac Society? You know, if there is, ask them, when's your next meeting? I'd love to give a talk on whatever problem you may. Maybe you want to talk there about the effect of gluten leading to leaky gut, which can cause fibromyalgia or something. You have a fibromyalgia support group. You have a chronic fatigue and autoimmune. There's all kinds of health support groups in various communities. So if you want, just reach out to those people. Introduce yourself, tell them who you are, tell them what kind of training you had, tell them about how you're passionate about helping people and that you would love to do a free talk for their group, right? Start with free. Don't expect that you're a brand new speaker and somebody's going to offer you $500 to come talk to them for 2 hours. It ain't going to happen, right? And even once you're more established, speaking for free is probably the best way to grow your business. Because if you go and they pay you to speak, they're not going to let you make an offer. They won't. They just don't. That's just not the way it works. But if you speak for free, you can actually make an offer for them to continue to work with you. So think about that. Unless they're going to pay you $5,000 for 2 hours, $10,000, take it. By all means, take it. But I know that Bill Barron used to tell me, he goes, I used to take these big speaking fees, like $5,000, $10,000 even. And he goes, what I discovered was that when I learned how to speak to sell, that I didn't want the $5,000 or $10,000 because I could do a talk and make $50,000, right? So, but that's not where most of you are right now. That's not where I am right now. So let's just, you know, go where we're at. So take those free things and get in front of people, but always have a call to action at the end that's going to get them in your world, right? And I'll talk about what that is in a bit. So you can go to groups you know. I spoke a few times to the moms group in my area, and I'd have people who would come to me as patients after that, right? I had a lot of people in my church group, and I had a lot of patients in the church community because they wanted to come and get my support one-on-one. The senior centers, I actually spoke a couple of times at a senior center, and that was really nice, right? They're like, oh my goodness, I remember one I spoke and I talked about joint pain, because that's what a lot of seniors suffer from, right? Arthritis and joint pain. And I talked about ginger as an approach to pain that, you know, much healthier, much gentler on your system than taking Tylenol that people are taking over and over. And I remember hearing back, the person who organized it came to me a few days later. She goes, my friend said she heard you speak, or he heard you speak about that. And he's been on Tylenol for 15 years for his knee pain. And she said he started doing ginger, and 3 days later, he's off his Tylenol because the ginger worked. So, right, little things like that that you can just open people's eyes to, right? The people who are taking Tums all the time because they have heartburn or reflux. And you can explain how that's messing with their bones, right? How that's affecting the calcium metabolism and yanking some of that out of the bones to neutralize, and how it's not allowing the absorption. I mean, you could go into this whole thing and then teach them about licorice and slippery elm and marshmallow and certain foods that are causing their reflux. So really tie it in. Know your group though, right? If you're speaking at a group, do some research on that group before you go in and speak to them. And because if you're going to talk to them as if they're like all a bunch of 25-year-olds, you know, millennials, and they're a bunch of 65-year-olds, retired, whatever, you're going to have a different group. So research who's going to be in your audience. You know, it's usually pretty easy if it's like a PTA. You know that these are people with kids of child age, you know, school age. I think various community groups. So reach it out and say, who do you want to speak to? And if you belong to a group, it's easier, right? I belong to the mom's group. A friend of mine had a mom who belonged to the senior group. I belonged to the church, so I spoke to those, right? So that's how I got some speaking gigs early on. And the other way is to rent a venue and host your own. Or my first talks were not, I didn't rent a venue. I did them in my living room. When I lived in California, I had my office, you know, 2 miles up the road from where I lived. And I would periodically just invite people in. I had a big living room, so I could fit like 15 people in my office, and I would have them in and do various talks, you know, whether specific topics, one I did on label reading, you know, one I did on healthy foods for the digestive tract, you know, and they people loved them. They came and they saw me, and then they would want to continue with me. Back then, I wasn't real good at actually having a call to action at the end. I would just hope for the best, you know, but now I have a much better approach to having a very specific what's next. And a lot of folks feel like if I'm doing a talk and people paid me to come to the talk versus free, that I can't make them an offer at the end, because that would be tacky. They paid me $10 to come here. They paid me $25. And the truth of the matter is, you not making them an offer to continue is like leaving them in the cold. They're going, oh yeah, I really want that. Yeah, I need that. Yeah, I need that. And then you go, see ya. So what are they going to do? They're going to find somebody that's going to provide that service. So why not you? Because they got used to it. And I had a really clear example of this one time. I was doing a class in my kitchen, and it was on making some sort of, I think it was on gluten-free raw foods type of thing. So I was teaching them how to make breads and crackers and things like that. It was about a 2-hour class. I charged people like $45 to come to it. They got all the food, they got all the recipes, and it was great. And about 2 weeks after that, one of the men who came with his wife said, and she had Crohn's disease, he said to me, do you know anybody that can help my wife? I said, what's going on? And he told me a bunch of litany of problems, and that they'd been to various practitioners, and that she just kept getting more drugs. And then she went to this alternative practitioner and gave her like, you know, 27 different pills to take all day. And he goes, I just am looking for somebody who's, you know, who's going to help her with the food. I said, well, I can certainly help her. He says, you can? Yeah, you do that? I said, yeah, because I thought you just taught classes. I said, no, this is what I do. And I explained to him. He goes, why didn't you tell us that when you were doing the class? I'm sure there were other people like me who would love to, you know, come to you for some of our health issues. And I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? And that was the hit on the side of the face that said, you know, that wasn't fair. I sent these people. She could have come to me in the first place and saved herself the heartache of all the crap that she went through, but to say nothing of all the money that she went through. So just keep that in mind. So there's lots of places, like libraries probably rent the rooms, or even, you know, in some cases will give it to you for free. You know, you just go in there and maybe it's $20 or $50 or something to rent the room for a couple of hours. There's community centers. Here in Austin, we have this place called Casa de Luz, and it's a macrobiotic center. And they serve macrobiotic meals, you know, certain times a day, the set meal of the day. But they have these rooms, and you can rent the rooms, and it's like $100 to rent the room for the evening. And I did that a couple of times. And you can get the one that has a kitchen. And I've done that, where I had a kitchen and I could show them food stuff. So that's an option. Churches, certainly if you're a member of a church, they will, you know, usually they rent it at cost for what it costs them to maintain it. Hotels are a little bit more expensive, but for a short talk, not so bad. There's various meeting centers. Like here in town, we have an AT&T meeting center. We have another center. I forget what it's called, but that's all they do is meeting rooms. And there's these now things called co-space. And they're like a co-office space where people can go and rent an office for a few hours that they don't have an office, but they want to have meetings. You can do that and have a talk. I know some people who do that. They have a meetup group and they have their meetup group come and they do talks and these co-share. I think maybe it's called co-share. So look those places up. So where can you do your talk? And once you do, you're going to have to let people know that you're doing it, right? You can't just show up one night and say, I'm doing this talk and not have told people. Sometimes hanging flyers in the local grocery store, right? Sometimes it's a matter of putting something online, going into the various places in your community, calling people that you know. For me, when I started, I just like called all my friends and said, hey, I'm having this class. Will you come? Right? And so they came and then they started telling their friends because it was good. They really liked it. And I started having these classes on a regular basis. And we went from having 8 people the first time, because it was my friends. One time we had like 30 something. And I'm like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to fit 30 something people in here? We ended up rearranging all the furniture, pulling the couches out, putting folding chairs up. And we did 30 people in my living room, dining room area. And it worked well. You know, I started to do this and it was cheaper than doing it in one of these places. But after that, I was like, I have to rent a place. And that's when I started renting places. And after that, I said, well, I can just do this online. I don't even have to leave my house. And then I started doing it online. But you have to have enough of a following online. I would like to see you get established as a local authority if you're doing local things and you want to have clients and patients that come to see you. If not, then stick to online. But I started by doing the local stuff and then I branched out to the online. But you have to give great value. Your talk has to inspire them into action, right? It can't just be blah, 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 blah. It has to get them inspired and motivated and passionate about what their potential is and how they're missing their potential by not doing these things that you're sharing with them. You give them a few tips that they can take away. Don't give them a worksheet of 27 tips that they could get started with because you won't see them again because they'll be like, okay, she said these 27 things. I guess when I'm finished all these, then I'll come ask her for help, right? Or him for help. So I would say give them like 3 things at the most that are actionable, that are doable, that they could get started with. And then you always want to seed your program or coaching services. Tell stories. So you're telling somebody about, I don't know, reflux, right? And you're talking about how these medications are really not helping and there's ways that you can balance your body and you have to repair the tissue, et cetera. You can say, well, you know, let me tell you about Amy, who is a client that I saw one-on-one a few months ago. What happened there? Lynn Rose sees patients, people one-on-one. Oh, good. So they got that in their head. And then you might say, you know, and this is what happened with her and you tell her story and then they're motivated like, oh, wow, she was on Tums for 15 years and now she's not taking Tums anymore and she feels great. My husband's been on Tums for the last 25 years. I wonder if you can help my husband. So you're seeding it. If you do a group program, you might say, you know, one of the folks in my group program, you know, we got together on Sunday and we did this little cooking demo. Ah, now they know that you do cooking demos. Wow, I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to eat this food. I don't know how to eat to support my digestion. I'm going to check it out. So they, if you don't offer, they've at least come to you and they ask because they've had that. So you seed those programs throughout, not the sleazy way. Well, there's more of this in the program. I'll tell you more about that if you take my program. That's a sleazy way to do it. But it's more that subtle way that they get to know that you're more than just this person that goes to health food stores and talks about digestion, right? You do all this stuff. You've had a lot of experience. You know, when I was a nurse 20 years ago, when I first started as a nurse 20 years ago, now you've established yourself as been trained in the Western medical perspective. Right? And they go, oh, so she gets it, but now she's going more towards the nutrition, right? So it helps to people who need that credibility. Or when I was taking macrobiotic cooking classes, you know, 20 years ago, or teaching macrobiotic cooking classes, blah, 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 right? So you're establishing your credibility, right? And when you're doing the presentation, it's always a good idea to talk about who you are and how it works. But you don't want to take up 75% of it. Have you ever been to those where you're sitting there and you're like, this thing's almost over and he's still talking about his this and his that and all his accomplishments. What good is this going to do me, right? So you want to balance it with you establish credibility, but you also establish vulnerability, right? You also establish that you're vulnerable, you're real, you're not this like highfalutin person who thinks they're hot stuff, and that you're credible. And there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance. One of my mentors early on, Jesse Corin, just Charlotte and Jesse. And Jesse would talk about that balance. And he says, yeah, you know, you can get up there and go, oh, and when I was this and I still have these problems and I da 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 da. They're like, how are you going to help me? You're still struggling. But you talk about it as your past and you talk about how you've gone here. And I still struggle with emotional eating from time to time. I still find that when I haven't had enough sleep and I've got a lot on my plate that I'm reaching for, what can I reach for? And maybe it's healthier food, but I'm still struggling with it. And don't feel bad if you're still struggling with that. There's ways that we can support you in shifting things around. So you establish that you are an authority. You talk about your training. If you're talking a digestive system, you know, you talk about the kind of training and background and expertise. You tell them that you're a certified digestive mastery coach through the Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology, right? That sounds like, oh, that's pretty cool. Oh, and offer a strategy session at the end. So either a program or a strategy session. The first time I did one of these, that was a straight out speak to sell. I did it in my kitchen. This is where we had 30 people that showed up. I wasn't expecting it because I had just sent out the email the day before. So I sent it out email wise and people showed up. I was doing it because I was in a class and the class said we had to do one before the next session of the class. And the next session of the class was the following weekend. And I finally said, okay, I'm going to do this. And I sent out an email on Monday and for a class on Tuesday locally in my house, I had to tell the people that signed up from California that unless they planned to hop on a plane, that they probably weren't going to make it in time. But we had about 30 people show up. And I did the talk. And I, you know, at that point, I hadn't had the kind of experience that taught me what the right value program to offer at the end of it. So I did this whole thing. And, the best thing if you are going to offer a straight out program is probably under $500, ideally $300 or less, because that way people have had enough intimacy with you to trust you with $300, but not necessarily more. But I wasn't thinking that. And so I offered a program for $1,200. And it was like 6 months of online and then there's some private stuff. And they offered this program and I'm like, you know, all excited. And three people bought it. Three people out of 30. I mean, it's not a huge percentage, but three people out of 30 bought the program. And it was great because I got the feedback like, wow, people really want this. You know, I later found that if I offered a program for $300 or $500, I'd get like a third of the room would sign up. So, you know, more overall income, but you learn and play with it. It doesn't hurt. The other thing you can offer is a strategy session. You can offer something free at the end, or you can offer something very discounted. Say, you know, I normally charge like $75 or $150 or whatever to do a strategy session to see how I can help you and give you some tips. But because you're here today, I'm going to offer the first 10 who signed up for that for $25, you know, and you can make the number up right then and there, because you're going to see how many people are in the room. And if there's three people in the room, you're not going to offer it to the first 10, right? But you can offer it to all of them. And if there's 30 people in the room, you may say the first 10, and then you have people rushing to get to you to get that. You get them signed up for a strategy session, or you get them signed up for, you know, a reduced price or a free strategy session, or some kind of program, $100, $200, $300, whatever you feel comfortable when you first start out. But you make the program, if it's a low price, you make it contained. You may make a 3-week program in jumpstarting their digestion for $97. You get a lot of people who will say yes if you've built up the rapport. So once you've done this presentation and you've, like I said, you've got my template for it, you want to be able to offer them something. So when you offer them something and say they do sign up for a strategy session and you have a strategy session, what are you going to offer them on a strategy session, right? Now, this doesn't mean that you have to have a sophisticated online program with modules and, you know, learning opportunities and videos and all that. You can offer them something simple. So I want to talk about what kinds of things you can offer them at the end of that, because this is the way that you can actually build your following, right? You can start with nothing and build it up by just getting out there, getting known as the expert in your community. And little by little, even if you get one strategy session at each of these things, that's one more that you had before. It's the experience you have in doing them. So how do we become a successful holistic practitioner step by step? How do you build that practice and succeed and get this information out and help a lot of people? And step by step is actually what you want to do it. So the first thing is mastering your craft, right? Is if you're going to offer a program in digestion, you know, get through all the modules and pass all the tests and get your certification even, because it gives you that credibility of I'm a digestive mastery coach. Spoke to somebody today who's, she's an MD already, but she was like, I've got to get my, one of my certifications here. So people know that I'm not just an MD, that I've also got this holistic endocrinology background that supports me. So, you know, it's really a great thing to have some sort of backing, so to speak, right? That people say, oh, you're a digestive mastery coach or whatever. So you have to learn it. We really do have to learn it. And then you need to be able to provide support for people. You need to be able to make good connections with people. You can't be, you never ever listen to those people. They get up there and they're just, they sound so pompous and they sound unapproachable. You want to be the person that people feel comfortable with. They're entrusting you with their most valuable possession, which is their own health, right? And their time to go through this. And you want to have them feel that they're in a safe and trusting environment. You also want to do thorough assessments and have a process for reassessing them at appropriate intervals. And maybe there's some testing you're going to do, blood testing, urine testing, stool testing when it comes to the digestive tract, organic acid testing. And you have access to a little module. We called it the, it was the assessment, digestive assessment. It's just a little module on a few of the things you can do, more advanced assessments in addition to what you learned in the modules. So you want to do that, but you want to reassess. This is what's going to have you stand apart, because a lot of practitioners out there, a lot of functional medicine practitioners, not just medical practitioners, you do an assessment, you put somebody on a program, and then if it doesn't work, I see them 6 months later and they go, yeah, well, I don't want to do another stool test because I did a stool test with Dr. So-and-so and I did the herbs they told me to and nothing happened. I went, tell me more. So they said, take these herbs and, you know, that was it. I said, did you go back in 3 months and have the stool test done again to see if the herbs helped, to see if your leaky gut cleared? No. They just said, take these things. So this is where you've got to stand apart. You've got to explain to people that healing is a process and there's no protocol that's going to work for everybody. But based on your assessments and based on your history and based on your experience up till now, these are the steps that I think that you can take. Let's get started, but let's check in. That's why your programs aren't going to be the, okay, come back in 6 months, right? Because things shift. It should be in 2 weeks or 1 week. Give them 2 weeks. Have check-ins. And I'll talk to you about the pieces to incorporate in your programs, whether it's a one-on-one or whether it's a group in person or whether it's a group online. All the same components are important. So do the assessments, reassess, but give them steps that are small and actionable and doable, right? When I first started in practice, I would do my comprehensive assessment. I'd have them come back for a review of findings visit. And I would have prepared like this 3 to 5 page report that told them all of the foods they were going to go off of, all the foods I was going to get them on, all of the herbs, all of the supplements. And they would sit there with the face like, right? Like, it's too much. Right? So you as the professional decide what is the area that's going to give them the most bang for the buck that's actually going to help them to get some results quickly so you can work on it. And even if it's not a root cause first step, like say, for example, their adrenals are burned out because their gut is overwhelmed because they're eating really fast and they're stressed out when they're eating or whatever. We really want to work on the gut, but you know, based on what they've told you, that if you put them on a particular adaptogen and get them sleeping, that they're going to feel better. And you explain it to them. I'm going to give you some temporary relief for this sleeping thing so you have more energy, but we really need to work on this next. Then they're going to go, oh, wow, she knows what she's talking about. Right? Because I got relief. It doesn't always work that you identify that piece correctly the first time through, but I think it's really important that it's actionable steps that is based on them. Somebody sits there and tells you they have a degree in biochemistry and they've done this, that, and the other thing, and they're open to, you know, making whatever changes you want them to make. It's going to be very different than somebody who's a stressed out mom who can barely get out of bed in the morning trying to feed these four kids and homeschooling them. And it's like, I don't have time for this. Give me something I can do, right? So you give them manageable action steps at their pace. You give them tools. You give them tools that they can actually use. So you give them things to replace in their first aid kit, right? You give them recipes. You give them little video clips that show them how to make simple things that taste good that their family's going to enjoy. You give them a little exercise. You give them a sheet of paper that shows them how, or a link to a YouTube video that shows them how. So empower them. And then they're going to get results. And when they get results, they're going to love what you're doing. They're going to give you an A+ on your report card, and they are going to be your biggest fans, and they're going to shout it out from the rooftops and tell everybody about you. And suddenly you're going to have people come in. I remember helping a guy with his back, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to help him. I'm like a year out of practice. He had was wearing a concrete back brace, you know, a cast around his waist. So I'm like, what's going on? I already had a disc surgery. It's hurting again. They think I'm going to have another one, and they really want to immobilize me. And I'm like, really? Have you ever had this, ever that? So I talked him into, I didn't talk him into, I just told him about, and I said, you know, give it a try. If I can work on you for 3 or 4 weeks, we'll do this protocol. It's called Cox Flexion Distraction. We're going to combine it with some trigger point work, and we're going to combine it with acupuncture. And yeah, let's see if it works. And if it works, if it doesn't work in 3 or 4 weeks, then probably you're going to need to have the surgery. So the guy was out of his cast and feeling amazing in like 2 weeks. And he said, would you help my wife? She has these really bad headaches. So the wife comes in to see me. And the first thing she did is thanked me and gave me a hug. She goes, thank you for giving me my husband back. We hadn't had sex in 3 years because of this back problem, and we're on it. And he was out playing golf again in a month, right? So you just give them, and I gave them little things to do. I worked on him in a way, and I gave him expectations, right? So don't set expectations that their 25 years of reflux is going to go away in 3 weeks, because it may not. You may be able to give them some relief, but there's tissue damage, right? You've got to help them work on the tissue damage. We're not just into pain relief. So working with them, and then they're going to really be shouting about how good it is. Their experience has to be good all along the way. Baby steps that lead to results, another baby step that leads to results, and then you've got raving fans. So it's really, really important. So I want you to keep some things in mind when you put together your digestive health coaching program. And this goes to whether you're putting together an overall, you know, fatigue busting protocol or a blood sugar balancing protocol or a digestive health. It just has some different goals. And so what I did was I made a diagram, and in the middle of the goals, right? So if somebody is having digestive issues, then you're going to eliminate gas and bloating and brain fog and fatigue and achieve a happy belly. So maybe that's the goals that you set for your program. So you set some goals. This is what we're going to work on together. Again, whether this is a group program or a single one-on-one. You need to clarify your process. What is it that you are going to take them through? And if you go through the program, how do we do it? We give you access to our grand program, which is what we do for our clients, and we model it. I start with the upper part. I start with teaching them how to calm themselves down before meals. I teach them how to chew. I teach them, like, if they have any kind of upper GI, how to soothe and calm that. That's my process. So I'm really clear on my process, and you should be too. What is your process? And then you outline the steps. I like to outline the steps and name the steps, right? So in Grand, I have names for each of those steps, right? You can call them cute names. You can call them anything you want. But when you name the steps, then you explain to them, look, I want to work with you. I'd like you to start with like a 3-month program. And here's the things we're going to do. First, we're going to. Second, we're going to. Then we're going to. Then we're going to. And here's how we're going to do it. Identify your delivery system. You're going to come and you're going to sit across from me, and I'm going to give you some handouts that are appropriate. I may ask you to watch a few videos that are online, or I may give you some videotapes. whatever it is, your process, your delivery system. And then you add some juicy resources to it. So maybe you are really good in the kitchen and you want to bring them into your kitchen and teach them how. Are you going to go to their kitchen and teach them how to make some foods, right? Maybe what you're really good at is making tinctures, right? Making herbal tinctures, and you teach them how to do that, or herbal teas. So whatever it is, you give them something extra, right? Some kind of things that are going to help support. Because if somebody, you say, okay, and it's, you know, $2,000 and we're going to meet once a week for 3 months. They're like, huh? And what's the purpose, right? And these are the steps I'm going to take you to during this 2 months or 3 months. And these are the kind of resources and tools I'm going to give you in order for you to do it. And once you do that, it makes it easier to enroll them. And especially when you're doing an enrollment conversation, and those of you in NEPT have access to a bunch of more resources on doing enrollment conversations, but you want to get, what are their goals? What are they wanting to accomplish? And then you keep tying everything back to that. And I like to, during an enrollment type conversation, explain to people, oh, based on what you're telling me, it sounds like your thyroid might be involved in this as well. So once we get this piece taken care of, I'm going to probably recommend that we get some thyroid testing. And you can get that done through your doctor, and I'll give you the exact tests that I think you should do, because a lot of conventional doctors don't run a complete panel. But that's what I would do. And then after that, I might do this. So you're giving them an idea of what it's going to be like to work with you, right? And then, then you want to package your system up. What do you need to support them in making diet and lifestyle changes? Just sitting down with you for 2 months, as nice as you are, once a week, it's just not going to cut it. They have to know, how are you going to do it? How are you going to support them? I would avoid the pay-as-you-go model. And here's why. I did it for years. They come in, they see you. You explain to them what they need. You go through this whole process, and then you say, okay, I want you to do these things, and let's get back together in a week. And they go, oh, yeah, yeah. I don't have my calendar with me. I'll make the appointment later. And 3 months later, they call you back. And you're like, what the hell was wrong with this? I don't even know. I don't even remember anything about this person. I haven't seen them in 3 months, and I've talked to so many others. Then you have to go back and pull it out. And I did this for a while, even when I was doing stuff online. And sometimes people would come back and do another strategy session after 2 years. You know, it took me like a half an hour to an hour to go through what I'd talked to them about before to get up to speed. And I said, no, it's just not worth it. And they didn't make progress, right? This is a person that 3 years later, they could have been, you know, on top of the world. And in the meantime, they're just like, okay, I'm ready to get rid of the gluten now. Okay. Right. So I'd avoid the pay as you go. I'd offer it in groups, even if it's just a very small bundling, like 3 sessions, and you keep the price really affordable. You tell them, and that's what I started to do. I say, nope, I don't do the pay as you go. Here's why. Because you're going to try to spread it out as much as possible. In the meantime, some of the things that I've talked to you about are going to go by the wayside. And then we're going to have to play catch up when you come back in. And it's not good for you and it's not good for me. So I don't do it. The minimum I'll do is, maybe it's a bundle of 3, a bundle of 5. Even that model I don't like so much, and I'll explain to you why. But when you bundle the visits with other things like tools and ebooks and recordings and recipes, and, you know, with smartphones, you can just like so easily add videos to the thing. You get a little $15 tripod, you stick your iPhone on it, you go in the kitchen and you make a smoothie. And now you have a resource that you can give them. Lynn does this with exercises and meditations. I've seen her. She's been at my house. Could you hold this up for me? Sure, Lynn, buy a tripod. You know, you can do it alone, right? But I'll hold the thing up, and there she is. And now you can do this, and then breathe this way. And then she puts them on YouTube, right? It's so easy. It takes 5 minutes. You can all do it. Just get over yourself. Just get over, I have to look good and the hair is sticking up, and just get over it, because the information is valuable to them. And it's really helpful for them to see it from you, who they know and trust, versus some Joe Schmo on the internet that they don't know and trust, right? So I would say it's so easy to do that. It's so easy to take, go in your kitchen, make a recipe, write it down, type it into Word, turn it into a PDF, and then email the link to them. Right? Or put it on a Dropbox folder and give them a link to it. or put it on a Google Doc and give them a link to it. So easy, and the tools are all free. So add these little goodies, because here's what happens. If you say, I have a bundle of services, I have a bundle of coaching calls that we're going to have, and I'm going to charge you $500 for 5 calls. Oh, that's an easy calculation. She makes $100 an hour. I only make $20 an hour. Why do I want to pay her $100 an hour for this? I could go get this information on the, you know, the, all that stuff goes through their mind, right? But if, and they're not counting all the, how much money did it cost you to get the education that you have? How much time are you spending reading their assessments and planning for their visit in between? They're just seeing, you're charging me $500 for 5 hours of your time. Screw you. I'm going to do this. Instead, it's like, oh, I got this bundle and it's $495 and we're going to have 5 visits and each visit's going to be about this long. I'm going to be doing some preparation for those, each of those calls. I want you to send me your diet diary and I'm going to give you a form and I'm going to review that in advance so I can help you to make tweaks to it. I also have some recipe booklets, just a few recipes. I'm going to just get you started and a couple of recordings, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, and all of this and all of that. It's just $495. Are you on? Can we sign you up? Right? Doesn't that seem better than, yeah, give me $500 and I'll spend 5 hours with you. Right? But that's what a lot of people do because you don't realize it. And you may say, well, yeah, I make a lot more money per hour than that person. Yeah, but that person is employed getting $20 an hour consistently for 40 hours a week. And they go home and that's it. They spend their life with their kids. They don't have other educational things. They're not reviewing people's charts. They're not thinking about people as they fall asleep at night going, I hope Mary's okay. I really, you know, I think that that's going to help her reflex. I feel so bad for her. You know, we take them on energetically. We take them into our lives and we deserve to be compensated for it and for the education so that we have that going. And then easy to say yes to fees and package prices. Like I just said, like when my first bundle that I did was I charged $495. That's why I threw that number out there. And it was an initial consultation of an hour and a half. It was three or four, I think it might've been 4 follow-up, half hour to 45 minute follow-ups. I called them progress and planning meetings. And then one, what's our next step for like half an hour. And so all told, it was probably like 3.5 hours of my time. I bundled that with my Green Cleanse program, which was, I sell it for $97, but it doesn't cost me anything more to put one more person into that, right? I packaged it with some eBooks that I had, right? I practiced it with my little transforming stress system and was like, wow, that all that for only $500 and everybody that I offered it to took it. And I thought, maybe I should raise the price because everybody took it, right? So anyway, you make it that way. You offer quick sign-up bonuses. And some of us feel uncomfortable with that. And I still have a little hard time with that. If I have somebody on the phone, I don't want to feel like I'm the used car salesman with the high pressure. And if you buy it right now, I'll even throw in the steering wheel. Like, seriously? Right? So, but you can do that. Like I can offer you, if I don't have to follow up with you, I can offer you a $50 scholarship, you know, towards the price and take it off right now. Or I can offer you an extra this or that, or, you know, I can give you my firstborn because they're really good in the kitchen and they can help you make these recipes, you know, something like that. And the catchy names do help. Right? Eradicate belly fat, jumpstart your energy, bye-bye belly fat, brain fog and burnout. That was my name for one of my programs. Calm the fires of heartburn. Anything at all that you can say, feed the critters and transform your life or whatever you want to call your program. I'm not great with coming up with cute, catchy names. So my names are mostly practical. And then what are some of the components that you're going to put into this program, right? These components are going to be things that you know. Remember when we said earlier, identify what is it that's in the process? What do they need? You need to have some assessments, right? And in Grand, you see that we have all kinds of assessments. And I think we have some in the Done For You section. Yeah, we have a Done For You section where you can just hand them our assessments. If you want to make your own, just make your own. Just use those as guidelines. So assessments are going to be good. You're going to need what's in a follow-up session. What are you going to teach them first and then next and then next and outline? written materials, training videos, audios, things like that you might want to throw in there. Tracking forms are really good when you're working with people who you're trying to track, change their diet, because you want to have them track what they're eating. Now, these days, with all the online apps that you can get, FitDay and Chronometer and MyFitnessPal, and they just have to turn this app on and it'll say, did you eat lunch yet? They're really annoying after a while. You didn't log your lunch yet. Well, I didn't eat my lunch yet. That's why I didn't log my lunch yet, right? But it gets them to log in and they can look things up. So it's really helpful if you just get them into those tools. Menus, most people ask for menus. Almost nobody follows them. Ever noticed that? Like, oh yeah, I want a menu plan. Like, seriously? Like, I don't have half those ingredients in my house. I don't want a menu plan. Just give me some ideas, menu guidelines. Like, at breakfast should have this to it and lunches could have this to it. Recipes are always important in a program like this. You really want to be able to use the recipes. Progress evaluations. How are you going to know after 4 weeks how they're doing? Well, you give them those digestive scorecards are great, because at 4 weeks, they go in and they go, wow, look, my score for low stomach acid was 38 and now it's 27. I must be doing something right. You can throw in that they have the ability to email you questions in between. Just be careful with that, because there are going to be people who are going to abuse that. I started including that in the higher level packages after a while, because I thought people just thought they could email me or call me anytime they wanted. And I was doing pay as you go. So they'd come in for an initial visit. It was $100, $150. They'd pay me that. And they thought they owned me for life. And they would call me that night and say, what was that brand of vitamin C? And then the next day at dinner time, they'd call me and say, I'm about to make dinner. And I was wondering what you said about this. And then I finally said, okay, when I had a session with them, I'd say, look, so I don't do this one-on-one, one-by-one thing. You can sign up for it, or I still did. So I said, either you can just pay as we go for sessions and you're just paying for the time that we're together. Or if you want, we have this VIP package where you can prepay for this much and you get this many calls in between and this many emails in between. So that way they knew if they didn't opt to that, that they weren't allowed to get that. So it was my way of not saying, you don't get this unless you, it was like, this is what's included here and this is what's included here. Which do you want? I'm in the any extra type things, whatever you think would fit in there. And, you know, here's a way to create content is to offer it. I'm going to send you a weekly exercise video. And now that's what you're going to do. You're going to make it a weekly exercise video, or I'm going to send you a weekly recipe. So now you're going to make them a weekly recipe. And that helps you to build your library of content. So the first few clients, there may be more work, but now you've got this library of content. And then, you know, 10 years later, you've got what I have, which is tens of thousands of pages of content, right? Because I just kept building it. I just kept building it as I felt like it was needed. So this is what you can do. This is our gut repair program, and these are all the different components of it. So let's talk about the kinds of packages you could offer to people. So like I said, pay as you go, not a good idea. So instead, you can pay them a monthly. You can have them pay you a monthly retainer, $150, $300, $500,000, $1,000. And it just always gets billed. Every month it gets billed this amount, and they get a certain number of sessions, a certain duration, maybe a certain number of emails in between. So they get certain things for this. And then it just ends with a 30-day notice. Either you end it because you don't want to work with this person anymore, or they end it. You say, hey, Mary, this is going to be our last month together. You know, I'm moving to Australia and we're not going to be able to do this anymore. Or they say, you know, I think I got where I want to go. That's one way to do it. It's an easy way to get started because you don't have to have anything mapped out for them. A time period package could be a 6 week, a 2 month, a 3 month. And if you have, you know, that you normally charge $300 a month for your services, they can sign up for a 3 month program for $700. So they save some money. And then you're going to walk them through the system. Remember, we talked earlier about first we're going to look at chewing, and then we're going to look at, you know, stomach acid, and then we're going to look at this, that, and the other thing. So you're going to walk them through your system over the course of a certain amount of time, and then you're going to include bonus materials, assessments, handouts, ebooks, checklists, accountability forms, diet diaries, etc. Does that make sense? And so that's much different than just a retainer, because you've got a plan. Right, with the retainer, they're just coming in and you go, okay, Mary, what do you want to talk about today? How you doing with that gluten-free diet? You know, but with this, there's more of a routine, right? And some people like to do this, like a set time period where you're walking them through a system, and then put them on a retainer where they can just come in for check-ins once a month, twice a month, whatever it works out to be. And another package type, whoops, did I miss it? I thought there were two. Oh, this is an example. So an example of a time period package is a 30-day jumpstart, right? Because you know you're not going to cure them, what's that's not the right word, but they're not going to completely repair from 27 years of distress in 30 days. So you call it a jumpstart. 90 days might be an intensive, 6 months might be an immersion, and a year might be a transformation. But you can always do things like a VIP day. And I love these for doing practical things. You can do them online or you can do them in person. I've gone to people's houses and I've set them up with equipment and I've gotten them, you know, shown them how to use their blender and helped them make some dehydrated foods and do that. Help them to clean out their pantry and their freezer and help them to read the labels. And I've had people, you know, have big shopping bags full of food that they were going to donate to the food bank or throw away because we went through. So it's practical and they have this really great feeling. Maybe you help them make a few dishes and you decide how long that VIP day is. Is it a half day or a full day? And then you price it accordingly. They're a lot of fun to do. I really, really enjoy them. Sometimes I'll do a VIP day to kick off a time period program. Let's get us started. Let's just do this. And I'll have people come over and I show them exercises. You know, sometimes I do some hands-on therapy, some craniosacral stuff, you know, to get them started. And then we go into our time period program. And then the third type is a package of sessions. And this is like what I said at the beginning. It's probably one of the easiest things. I have a package of 5 sessions. You can use them how you want. Some of them can be used in the kitchen to show you how to make food. Some of them can be used to motivate and inspire and give you the next steps. But it's more like, you know, if a session usually costs $100, you give them 5 sessions for $400, something like that. I recommend you put a time limit on it so years later they don't come back and try to use their sessions. I've had this happen in like ERC where somebody had X number of sessions with me and they said, oh, I don't want to finish. Can I carry these over? I'm like, yeah, for a little bit. And he didn't actually put a time period on. And 3 years later, you know, remember me? I had 3 sessions left with you. Meanwhile, I've tripled my prices from then, and I don't remember anything about them because I'd have to go pull out their file and look at it. So put a time limit on it. And then naming conventions. So these are some of the words I used earlier, but make it results oriented. Right? Make it results oriented. What's the result you want them to have? So these words are really nice: makeovers, transformations, intensives, skyrocket, jumpstart, immersion, accelerator, you know. And then here's some examples, right? Digestive healing jumpstart, digestive healing intensive, soothe your gut makeover, gut healing transformation, gut repair immersion, skyrocket your digestive healing. Vitality Accelerator, Quench Your Digestive Fire. So these are some titles. And I'll give you the slides to this. We'll post it with the recording so that you can use any of these titles. Feel free. Any of these you want, feel free to use them. I don't have any trademarks on any of them. So this, what I've talked about so far, has been related to one-on-one coaching, one-on-one packages. And I really think everybody needs to start there. A lot of people, when they're first starting out in health coaching, they want to jump right into groups because they want to leverage their income and, you know, get out of that time for dollars. You hear it all the time. Get out of that time for dollars process. But if you don't have a process, if you haven't worked with people on a one-on-one basis, you don't really know how to work with them in a group. You really have to be doing it in a one-on-one fashion before you're really good at doing it in a group. And with us, you know, we offer people in our NEPT program the ability to work with people in a group where we're guiding you on how to work with people in a group so that you get that experience doing it. But webinars and teleseminars are great for doing content like we're doing right now and presenting this in a webinar format. You can also use those for coaching, right? Some of our calls that we do on Zoom, because we can see each other and I can look into your eyes. And when I say, and this week we're gonna look at eliminating the dairy and replacing, and suddenly their face goes, and they're slumped over. You can see that where you can't see it on the phone, and you can address it. You say, Mary, when I mentioned letting go of dairy, your whole demeanor shifted. Did you notice that your shoulders dropped forward and your head dropped forward? Tell me more. oh my God, I can't imagine giving up cheese. Blah, blah, blah. So you get them to talk about how they're feeling about something, and then you're able to coach them in a path in a way that they feel better about it. We had this happen on, I don't know if she's on the call the other day, but somebody came on one of our INE calls the other day, just feeling like asked a simple question. I wished I could have seen her, but it really worked out well just going by voice tones to help like support through, okay, I'm feeling down about this. I'm feeling like this is hard. I'm not, and we actually were able to coach through it. And I see this a lot when I'm working with people ERC, our year-long program where we have our clients go through, and I can see their faces and I can see when they're really engaged and I can see them go like that, right? And we can address it and we can really help them. So that's where the coaching comes in. And I highly recommend that you look at something like a Zoom or something for the coaching. Handouts, right? Always having handouts. You're going to need something to give these folks, recipes, checklists, menu planners, assessments. And those things are things you would guide them through on your presentations. Videos and audios. The way I created my videos and audios, most of them were not sitting in my room and turning on the video and was doing something like this live, right? Where I'm doing it with people there so I can actually get into it. You see, I'm much more animated right now talking to you guys because I see some faces and it really helps me to see people's faces. And then I can get really into what I'm talking about versus if I'm sitting here and nothing's here and it's dark and I'm in my room, I can't seem to get as animated in it. And we want you to be animated when you're talking to people. Right? Demos, exercises, all that stuff is super important. But give it to them one at a time. Don't send them to a page that has 47 videos on it. Because here's what they say. Instead of looking at it going, oh, video 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I'll just start at the beginning and I'll go one at a time. They look and they go, ah, there's too many. Where do I begin? It may be obvious for you that you begin at number one and you move your way through. But it's not so much for them. So give them things piecemeal is what I've learned. Drip feed. So here's an example of some of the things that you could cover in these sessions, whether you're doing it as a group or whether you're doing it with them one-on-one. Of course, you want to start with a health assessment and goal setting. Where do they want to go? Where are they now? Early on, I'm always talking about hydration and beverage swaps because inevitably people are not drinking enough water. They're drinking coffee, tea, and soft drinks or iced tea here in Texas. And those are dehydrating beverages. So we want right away because you can do all the work in the world with great food and great herbs. If they're not hydrated, they're not going to have progress. Then I talk to them about their pre-meal ritual and chewing. Right? And so many people are just sitting down and going like this, right? They're not even thinking about what they're eating. We talk to them about identifying and removing gut-harming foods, right? And we talk to them about the digestive aids, bitters, enzymes, probiotics. Like all of these things, each one of these builds. Obviously, if you have somebody comes in and they're doing all these steps, you're going to start where they're at. You're going to review with them, and then you start where they're at. But if you have some steps that you want to take everybody through and make sure that either you took them through or they're already doing, because it's the basis of a healthy gut, in this case, a healthy gut, like looking at allergy avoidance and looking at gluten, looking at some of the gut healing protocols and what's going to be appropriate for them, addressing if they have microbiome disorders, addressing dysbiosis, looking at a targeted nutrition and food plan for them based on their sensitivities. Oh, this person has a histamine sensitivity or an oxalate sensitivity. I'm not going to prescribe the same diet as I would for somebody who doesn't have that. And then all the other lifestyle factors that play into the digestion, the sleep and the emotional habits and good relationships and social and stress and all that. So you create your examples and I give you a worksheet that you can use to do that. And the session flow, how do you do that? If you've not done much coaching before or you've been a clinician in a practice where you just, you have 10 minutes and you get in to do what's wrong, okay, here's your prescription, and you're working more to shifting over, you want to start with celebrating a success. Like you look at your list, okay, last time we talked about you swapping your Diet Coke for those sweet stevia sweetened beverage. How have you done with that? Oh, it was great. Those things don't taste bad at all, and I just keep them in, and I'm doing great with that. Great. Then you talk to them about if they were successful. So why was it, what was it about that made you so successful? And if not, well, I was tried in the first few days and then I broke down and I had a Diet Coke. So what prevented that success, and what can I support you in putting in place so that next time you can be more successful? So then you figure out, okay, so you talk about what their last time stuff was, and you go, okay, what's some new things I want to add? Or what are you going to reinforce so that they could go back and do it? Tony, who's in our NEPT program, tells us the story about how somebody comes in and she talks to them about drinking water, and they come back the next time. How'd you do with that? Oh, not so good. Oh, great. So here's why water is so important. Here's what I want you to do for next time. And she sends them away with just that again, right? Because they haven't been successful with it yet. Why add three more things that they're going to not be successful with? And every time they come in, they'll say, aren't you going to give me something new to do? Yeah, I am. As soon as you master this one thing, right? So it teaches them that, okay, this got to be in place for the other stuff to be mastered. I don't know that I have the the bravery to actually do that, and like thinking they just paid me all this money for this thing and all I did was tell them to drink water. But I think it's a great approach. I really do. You give them some new information, you give them small bits of information, and then you can actually send them, if you have a video, I have a video on gluten-free. So I'll say, go watch this video on gluten-free. And next time we're going to talk about why that's important for you. Or here, I'll tell you why that's important for you, and let me have you just dabble with these gluten-free recipes. An experiential exercise, if it's appropriate, especially if they're stressed out, you know, and you want to have them really learn how to tap or do heart math or meditate, or maybe it's movement, you know, you're trying to get them moving. You give them action steps for the next time. Again, 1 to 3 is really the max, because if you give them 10, they're going to fail. And then at the end, you can go through, okay, so what were some of your aha moments this time? What were some highlights of this session? What are some things you learned today that are really going to help you for doing this? And you wrap the session up so that it's in a ball. It's not like, oh, time's up. See you next time, right? You've got this session that's contained. So some tips, and a lot of you have had a lot of coaching experience, some of you haven't. So I recommend that you connect with them where they are and with what they envision for themselves. So we're always taking them back to, oh, I know at the beginning you said you wanted to play the piano again, but it's been years because of those arthritic fingers. I want you to really envision yourself. And so when it gets hard and you're really wanting the donut, think about your fingers. And think about those flying over the keyboard. You can connect with them, and you can explain why you do what you do. You can explain how, you know, maybe you're used to medicine where you get a prescription and you just have to take the prescription. But that's not really fixing the underlying. What's your underlying philosophy for this? And you want to give them hope and something to look forward to, like playing the piano. I remember one person I worked with, she said they had this trip on the books, her husband and her, and they were going to go climb the Himalayas. And she was a photographer and loved to take pictures, but the camera bag's really heavy. And she just, at the point where she was at now with her body, she couldn't imagine carrying all that stuff on top of everything to go up to the top and take these beautiful pictures. And I remember getting a postcard from her, picture of her on the top, you know, she carried her bag up. And she says, thank you so much for all the help. This was a dream come true, right? So help them to stay connected to those dreams and look forward to that. Is the pleasure, nothing tastes as good as healthy feels, right? So is the pleasure of that donut right now going to be better than the pleasure of you sitting at the top and taking out the view and taking pictures, or you playing the piano or playing with your grandkids? And it's really important to follow up regularly and adjust, because I know that there's a lot of people who are used to the medical model, the HMO model of come back in 6 months and we'll check you out. And you can't do that when you're teaching lifestyle changes. You can't do that. You've got to check in on a regular basis and adjust their program as needed. You gave them an herb and the herb caused them upset stomach. Well, maybe it's because it's too fast to detox, but you're going to back it off. You're going to adjust. You can't map out that this is what the program is going to be every week for 12 weeks because you don't know how their body's going to react to it. And then you request that they track. This is the hardest part, because nobody wants to track. I don't want to track, but it's a good thing to be tracking what they're doing. So when they come in and say, oh my God, I don't know what happened this week. I got a headache. Let me see your tracking documents. Oh, well, you got a headache here. Look what you did yesterday, right? You ate at your grandmother's. What did she put in that spaghetti sauce? Are you sure that that was gluten-free, that she didn't cook it in the same water? I know she said it was gluten-free pasta, but did she cook it in the same water as the gluten pasta? Like talk to them about the things. But when you see their habits, you can, right? And then you can offer them all the support that they need. So the things that are so important is the power of connection. If you're face-to-face and they're okay with touch, physical touch, a hand on the shoulder, a hand on the hand, just like making eye contact so that they know that you're there and you care. It's missing in modern medicine. It really is missing in modern medicine. You're beginning with their end in mind. Right? This is where they want to go. This is how I'm going to help them to get there. Sometimes all people want, you may want for them this big vision, this big vista, and all they want is to have their elbow pain go away, right? It can be very different than what you want for them, which is this big thing. Keep encouraging them. Touch, when I say touch, I don't mean just physical touch. I mean, stay in touch. Build into your programs ways that they can keep in touch with you in between. And always focus on what they were successful with first, the little wins. Wow, I can't believe it. That was so great. You got 6 hours of sleep last night. You got to bed by 2 a.m. That's awesome, because they had been going to bed at 3 a.m. Celebrate that and go, how can we make that even bigger win next time? What are you willing to do? Oh, yeah, I'm going to try going to bed at 1:30 this week, right? And I'm giving you this because this is actually a case, somebody I'm working with. Understand what they need and give them helpful tools. You know, and finding other tools for them. Sometimes it's just like, oh, wow, I just saw this thing on Amazon that, you know, where you can reach your trigger points in the back and you can actually work on some of those pain spots, or this little ball, and that whatever you do that you can tell them about. And stories, they love stories. I would tell stories about other people who had similar situations and keeps them encouraged. Okay. So all of these things are super important. So this is a blueprint. You can print this out as you're developing a program for yourself. What are you going to call it? What's the problem you solve? And I would put down what the problem you solve is first, because the name can come last. Who's your target audience? So I help people, burned out executives, to have more energy and mental clarity, right? So that could help you name that program. What format are you going to give it in? One-on-one? Well, if they're busy executives, they may not be able to make group coaching calls every Tuesday at 4 p.m. because they're in meetings. So you want the flexibility of doing one-on-one with them, right? Whereas if they're a stay-at-home mom whose kids are in school between 9 and 3, they have some flexibility to be able to come to those group calls. And then what's the time frame? Is it a 6-week program, a 4-week program, a 3-week program, a 10-week program? Pick something to start that's manageable. Too long, you may think, oh, I'm going to give them this year-long program and I'm only going to charge them $1,000. And they're thinking, a year? Holy cow. Do you have anything shorter? Whereas you might be able to say to them, I'm going to get, you know, and we're going to reach these goals and it's going to be 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 7 weeks. And they're going, oh, that's manageable. And they're still willing to pay you the same $1,000, right? And then what additional elements are you going to include? Well, how is it delivered? Is it online? Is it in person? What are the length of the sessions? And more is not necessarily better, right? You can sometimes accomplish a lot in a small period of time and they feel empowered, because sometimes as you go on, it goes on, people who are brain fogged and burned out may not be able to stay focused that long. And what else are you going to include in it? We talked about these recipes and recordings and menu plans and checklists and all this. They love checklists that you can hang on your refrigerator. If you see people in person, it's really nice if you do have some kind of really cool checklist. Go to Kinko's and get a bunch of them laminated and be able to include that in your program, a laminated checklist that they can use a dry erase marker, and every day they can just erase off and they can keep track of it. They can take a picture with their phone to send it to you. And it makes life really easy and it's fun. It's a little add-on and things that they can physically touch. And what process are you going to use? So if you want to do VIP days, you can do different formats. It could be a virtual private. So you're on the phone with them or on Zoom, and maybe you're on Zoom with them for 45 minutes. We talk about something, you give them something to do and they go off and do it. Pantry makeovers are amazing. Right? Okay, we're going to do this. I want you to, here's some of the things you're going to be looking for. And you give them some lists and they have a checklist they print out. Now I want you to go to your pantry. I want to go to your refrigerator and pull out any of the foods that you know don't meet these criteria, and we're going to put those off in the discard pile, and then take the ones you're not sure of, just come to the next session and we'll go through them together. And so you give them like a break of a half an hour to go and do that. They gather back, they show you stuff, you discuss it, you discuss what's good, what's not, and then you give them something else to do on the next break. You can do it live and private. I love these. I love to have people come to my house and I can take them in my kitchen and we make food together. I'll take them in the backyard. I'll show them, this is how you eat a meal. We do the breathing. We take in, you know, the sunlight. We appreciate Mother Earth. You can do it as a virtual workshop where you can have multiple people, right? You can have like 3 to 5 people in a workshop. I've done a bunch of these. We do some of these in our ERC. We do these virtual workshops where I'll get them on and we're going to do lab reading. You may think, well, why wouldn't you want to do that privately? Because people are like listening to every other person and they're learning a lot and they're really honing in on what's going on for them. And so it really works to have these small group virtual stuff or a live small group as well. Those I haven't done as much of. I've just done a couple of those. I really, really like those. I want to do more of those. And then, you know, what could your topic and focus of if you want to do a VIP day? Well, how to get started. I like to do these at the beginning of a program. Like people are overwhelmed. You do a how to get started. You can do a step-by-step. How do you do this step-by-step? You can do mastering a new skill. Like if they want to learn how to make blender drinks, right? You can just spend a lot of time, even virtually. You can be in your kitchen. We've done that even with ERC where we're in there. We've got a group of them on Zoom and I'm in my kitchen and they're making with me. You know, and we see them with their aprons on and showing each other. And then we show each other pictures the next day. It can be a total immersion. Like you're just trying to help them. I mean, it's a weekend and you're getting into yoga and stretching and food and a mindset. And you're doing all of that. So there's a lot of options, guys. And really tune into what calls to you, what feeds your soul. It can be, I recommend if you are going to do it, that you do 4 to 5 simple modules. It can be 30 to 45 minutes with breaks in between to get them moving, get them into action. And then you can give them bonuses that help them to do it that day, but then also give them homework afterwards to keep the momentum going. So I think that's all I have for you. And I would love to open it up for questions and find out, was this helpful? I'm going to stop that. And I'll stop the share. And so I'd love some feedback. Does this help you to kind of get started with putting together a program package? Anybody want to share? You raise okay, your
hand. I'll start.
Yeah.
I'll break the ice here. Yeah, I definitely got some ideas on For me, when I see this, it's what experience do I want to bring somebody through? So if my avatar, if my ideal client is a busy mom who's exhausted, she's so exhausted, she's bone-sucking tired, what experience do I want to have with her from beginning to, not necessarily end, but,
yeah.
You know, so each of the steps, they feel like you know what you're doing. And they just have to participate. Mm-hmm. And so if I come at each of those steps with that heart of service, each of the checklists, the recipes, everything will be with that in mind. And so this is just a really good reminder for that.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, that's awesome. Anybody else? Yeah, Susan.
Regarding the recipes.
Yeah.
I hate recipes. I don't use them. But clients want them. So how do you work the recipes? Where do you get them from? How do you consolidate?
You make them up. Okay, so you make recipes up. So what you do, there's a couple of ways you can do it. You can either discipline yourself. You're in the kitchen and you're throwing this together and you go, oh, that was a quarter cup. Okay. And then you throw it all together and you write it down, or you have somebody there with you. So you say, oh, that was about a quarter cup. Like hire one of your kids for a couple of hours, right? Or, you know, a neighbor kid or somebody to help you to write that down. So you jot it down. And then the next time you go and you make it again. Or at the end you go, oh, that didn't have enough salt. You know, oh, that needs more cayenne. Oh, I'm going to add this. And so, because you're creative, You don't make recipes. You don't use recipes. So you're the best candidate for creating your own recipes and giving these people these great recipes, right? You don't have to take somebody else's recipes. Why? Make them up, right? It just does take some time. I mean, I don't use recipes. You've seen me, right? But I have like 900 pages of recipes, right? And I just do them. Sometimes I just come up with the recipe in my sleep. I go, oh my God, that would be such a great combination, right? I had this idea for this papaya avocado, you know, cayenne sauce to go over a salad or something. And it came to me and like, I'm going to try it. And I went the next day and I just said, and I wrote it down and let it, it worked really well. I added a little more salt than I thought or less salt or whatever. So make them up, right? I mean, you could give people recipes, but you can send people, there's a gazillion recipes on YouTube and on, you know, all kinds of recipe sites, but you want them to see you and put you up as you're their guru. You're their person that has them in mind. Cause you can look at a recipe. You can take one of my recipes, right? And you can say, you know, Mary can't eat broccoli. She can eat bok choy. So I'm going to put bok choy in this recipe, and Mary can't eat, you know, oil. So instead of oil, we're going to use broth. And, but you know, and you just kind of take the recipes and you tailor them. Initially, that doesn't have to be a beautiful book, right? You're just meeting these people where they're at. You can just type it up in a Word doc and print it for them, or give them a link to that Word doc, put it on a Dropbox folder and give them a link. You don't have to be tech savvy. I put them on my website. You don't have to have a website to do it. You can just get a Dropbox account for free and put them on there and then give them a link or a Google Drive. But yeah, you're creative. You're the one that should be making up the recipes. Yeah.
Just then it's just a matter of discipline on my part to write it down.
It is. It is.
I don't know. I don't have the patience to do that, but I understand that that makes sense to do that.
It does. And if you go into it, Susan, with the idea that I'm making this recipe, not just for my family for dinner, I'm making this recipe and your family is going to appreciate it, because you've told me a number of times that they'll say, wow, that was amazing. And now we know it's the only time we're ever going to have it, Mom. Oh, well, right? Right? So they'll like it better too. And maybe one of them would be willing. Oh my God, she's going to, I'll write it down for you, Mom, because you make these amazing things and they're always one-time things.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a couple of questions on wondering if we can use your recipes.
You can use one or two here or there as long as you give me credit for it. If you're in NEPT, there are sections in there that I have done for you that you can use. Some of my stuff, it's just done for you that you can just use, right? But yeah, you can do that. But you can't, like, if I have a recipe book for sale, or if I have a recipe book that's part of a program, say I have my Sweet Spot 250-page recipe, you cannot give your client my 250-page recipe guide. You have to have them buy that from me. So if you want to use my recipes that are in a book, just send them to my website or sign up as an affiliate and buy it from me and include it in your coaching package with them. You can do it that way, right? And we're working on, I mean, I've got a lawyer that we're trying to work with. What's the arrangements that we can have so that you can pay a licensing fee? Somebody asked years ago who's in NEPT, and I said, yeah, we'll look into it, but it was just so much work and I just didn't have time. Was how can we take my recipes and bundle them together into what they call a private label right or something kind of thing, where you pay a licensing fee and it gives you the ability to use my recipes as you know, in whatever collections and however you want to do it. Still can't just take my book and hand it to somebody and, you know, not have them pay me for it, but you could take and create collections for yourself. It's in the works. We're, you know, we're just trying to get the basics covered and create that kind of stuff so that you do have resources. But in NEPT, there are sections that have done for you recipes. And I don't remember where they would be, but somewhere.
I recognize in my case, though, I need to make my own, because my clients are so far removed. I mean, if I handed them your recipes, Dr. Rita Marie, they'd be like, no way.
What is this? What are these ingredients? Right? Exactly. So you take simple things, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my audience is more sophisticated. My audience is not the, you know, truck driver, mid America mentality. They're people who are searching and they've been here and there. And a lot of them are very educated and they're, I'm like, Oh, that's a really good question, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think you just do it and keep it simple for them.
Right.
Okay. Right? Simple stir fries for people who don't eat much vegetable, and you just put some really cool spices in it. The little jar of Thai curry paste from Thai Kitchen, and you know, if they want that, or the little jar of Southwest spice mix for people, and you find out what they like. And then you can take any base recipe and turn it in. A lot of my recipes, that's all they are. It's a base that I've turned into five recipes, right? This is a gut repair one because I stuck gut repair herbs in it. This is a, you know, that's how I make new recipe books.
Yeah. And I have two clients that don't cook.
All right. They don't have to.
Minimally.
Yeah. And so you teach them how to shop in like a Whole Foods or a store, a co-op, where they can find the pre-done, you know, salad fixins that they can put together, or the yogurt that's there, and they can make a yogurt dressing by taking it home and then adding a little bit of salt and some seasoning mix and make Southwest yogurt dressing, right? So you get creative with them on simple things they don't have to cook. I don't cook.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Get a load of this. Dr. Luisa's office is right next to Sprouts. So I can't tell you how many of my sessions have actually been, like tomorrow, my one client actually requested, he says, we haven't been to Sprouts for two sessions. I'm like, okay, tomorrow. And I ended up spending an hour and a half just helping him.
Going them out. Shop.
He's a bachelor. He doesn't know how to cook.
Yes, no. And you can create a program that's a shopping tour. Where, you know, it's not efficient to do it with one person necessarily, but you take four or five and you gather them together and they each pay you a small fee and you take them on shopping tours, you know, and you can have a four session shopping tour where one session you're going to go through the produce and another session you're going to go through the dairy aisle and show them where they can find the good, you know, alternative milks and cheeses and all that sort of stuff. And then you take them through the packaged food aisle and show them how to avoid 90% of what's there and find the 10% or less that's actually edible, right? It's great. Because they don't know the difference between the Whole Foods marking that says all natural tortilla chips that are still fried in canola oil, right. Organic canola oil. But, you know, so you're teaching them the finer distinctions of how to discriminate their foods.
I'm very blessed having that right there.
That's really, really like, good.
Oh my gosh, it's so amazing.
Yeah, that's great. It sounds like you're having fun doing it.
Supplements and food and all kinds of things. It's like, wow.
That's awesome. And just so you know, that Susan, for those of you that may not know, Susan works in Dr. Luisa Thompson's office as her nutrition coach. So Luisa is an optometrist and she looks in people's eyes and says, whoops, you're starting to get insulin resistance. Oh, you've got some hypertension. She sends them over to Susan. So this is another relationship that you can build, right? You don't have to just build your own practice. You can go to chiropractic offices. You can go to nurse practitioners. You can go to optometrists, people who are educated to know that this is important, but may not have the time to be able to do the coaching themselves. And it's a great opportunity for you to really get in there and you know, get some good stuff going. Who else? Let's see. Safe space so they know how to, yeah. What was that about?
That was when you were talking about the different packages.
Yeah.
And that's what they need. I think that's what you're teaching us too, is when we take the lead, you know, then they know what to do. But
mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've got to be in the lead, right? They have to know that. Cause if you let them control the session, cause a lot of times people are used to this. They just want it to be a bitch fest. Excuse my language, but that's what they want. And then this, and then my mother-in-law did that and I couldn't help it. I had to eat her spaghetti sauce with sausages and then I didn't feel good and I knew I wasn't doing the right, you know, and you just kind of, you start with success because it always uplifts. You congratulate them like crazy on every teeny, teeny, tiny success, even if you're having a hard time finding where to congratulate them there. And then you go from there. And you don't have to have these beautiful pages of coaching packages. I know I've worked with people who get paralyzed because they're not offering anything because they don't have it all worked out and they don't have the shiny brochure that describes their coaching packages, right? You can just have a sheet of paper and, you know, you can just, as you're talking to people, it lists all the things you could be talking to them about. Oh, they're good with this. They're good with, oh, they need this. They need this. They need this. They need this. And then you custom tailor right on the spot. You know, you may have a set idea that if it's going to be a 6-week package with this, it's going to cost this much, but the components speak to them, speak to their pain, speak to their heart and what they're needing. You don't have to have it all written out.
And returning to Susan, Louisa is actually one of our NEPT students. So this is, you know, the collaborations working with each other is really nice.
Yeah, we've had a lot of that go on where people connect with each other, a medical doctor out in Maryland and hooking up online virtually with one of our coaches in Florida, you know, so it's just that you meet at the at Shine. I'll give you a plug for coming to Shine. You all get a free ticket to Shine. So come to Shine. You get to meet people. That's how Louisa and Susan really hooked up, is really because you can connect on these calls. Yeah. But when you're in person and you sit down and have lunch with somebody, you go for a walk on the grounds with somebody, you find the people that you really connect with and who you have synergy with and who you can create programs. I know when Tony and Cassandra came on board, they became like best buddies at Shine. And then they brought Karen into the picture, and they were starting to do some classes with Karen and Cassandra and Tony. And so these relationships build and brew, and it's great because we don't need to be islands and we don't need to do things on our own. It's the collaboration that works really well. Yeah. Anything else? Who else? Raise your hand or just pop on and ask me questions. It's hard to read. I don't, if there's anything there, tell me. Who else? Nobody? Was this helpful? Yes? Yes? Yeah, you'll have a recording of this. I've got a separate recording of just the presentation so that, you know, you can go back and it'll be a better quality. It won't have all the, like the people in the boxes there. It'll just be the presentation, and hopefully that'll get uploaded. I'll put that up, and then we'll put the slides, the presentation with the video, and it'll be on a page somewhere. I don't know where. Is there a bonus page for CMDS? There must be a bonus page for CMDS that we'll put that on, or we'll just send an email out to the people.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay, we talked about these different long programs, but in your experience, what's too long of a program?
I haven't found it yet, but if you're first starting out with people, I mean, if you offer them a 6-month program, they may be overwhelmed. But here's the deal. It depends on the people. We have a year-long program, but we offer it to people after they've been through like Sweet Spot for 3 months. Then we offer them to come into the longer program to really work on in depth and really get the connection. And the thing about that relationship when they come through our year-long program is they create relationships with each other. And they realize that health is a journey, that it's just not about getting certain symptoms under control. It's about having support for a lifetime for all these things that come. And people come back year after year. I've had people where they came from like a 3-month sweet spot, and then they came in and did they came off a 3-month sweet spot, and I said, well, here's something else we can do. We can do a 6-month if you want, and we can really work on these other issues. She goes, oh, can I do a year? She's the first one that asked that. I'm like, well, I guess so, you know, because I'd said, if you do 3 months, it'll be this much. If you do 6 months, it was less than double that. She goes, oh, if I do a year, can I, you know, I'm like, sure. So I came up with a price and she paid it, and that was my first year-long coaching program. So it really depends on the people, and you'll feel it out. Typically, what I offer people, if I'm one-on-one with them and I'm getting a sense that it's complicated and it's not going to be a 4-week jumpstart, that I'll start with offering them the 3-month, even if I have a 6-month. And some of them will say, I actually had one person who I didn't even think she was going to do anything because she had no money. And I was making decisions for her based on money. And I said, well, I have this 3-month program and it's this much. She says, well, do you have a 6-month? And I gave her the price of the 6 months. She goes, yeah, there's no way I can get all this. I can get any progress in 3 months. I need the 6 months, right? So just feel them out. right? And be prepared to offer them something in the middle. And then they can always, you can always say, well, if that's too much for you, you don't want to make that full commitment, we can just do a 4-week jump start. And let's just see how we work together and see where you are at the end of 4 weeks. And then we'll determine what more you need and how I can continue to support you. Make sense? Who was it that asked that question? Because I didn't see you.
I think it was Martha.
Martha? Okay. Who else? Questions? Helpful? Burned out from doing presentations and just concentrating on getting through the materials? Yeah, so, you know, here's the thing. Get out there and do presentations and have a call to action. That's all I would ask you to do. Whether the call to action is, come talk to me at the end of this if you are having health issues and let's see if there's some way we can work together. A better call to action would be, hey, I have X number of free spots for consultations to see if we work well together. And a third one where you can collect more names is a free thing. Valerie and I were talking about that this morning, right? You do a talk and you say, hey, I've got this amazing checklist based on what we talked about tonight. If you want it, I'll email it to you. Just come up and put your email address on this page or go to, you know, myfavoritechecklist.com and I'll send it to you. They'll put your name and email address in. And that way you build your list. And then that way you can have a follow-up sequence of emails. We call that a nurture sequence that helps people to really get to know you better. The thing about making offers from talks is if you do a 2-hour talk, they've gotten to know you for 2 hours. You know, that's pretty good. It's much different than meeting you at the supermarket or picking up your card and going, oh, Valerie, I'm going to set up an appointment with her. She sounds like a nice person. Like, really? But if they had this conversation with you at the supermarket for a few minutes and then they had the card, yeah, she was nice. Maybe I'll call her. But if they spent 2 hours with you where you gave them exercises to do and during your talk, you got them interacting, right? Maybe broke them up into groups or you had them raising their hands and sharing, right? And they're feeling real comfortable with you. They'll make a small leap. You're not going to offer a $5,000 coaching program from a 2-hour talk. It just, you know, it just usually doesn't work that way unless you got people who have, just have a lot of money, right? But you can offer usually a $300 to $500 coaching program if you, once you get good at it and you position it right, you always have to position it as this is the next logical step and these are the benefits, you know, and I've done that. I've offered $300 group coaching programs from there. Yeah.
I have another question.
Yeah.
Have you had, this is Gina, have you had a conflict with any of your clients where what you're guiding them to and what their gastroenterologist is guiding them to, and there's a conflict, and what are your steps to do?
Yeah, so we always want to explore that, right? So if their gastroenterologist is guiding them towards, let's just say, stomach stapling, which you know is like the epitome of bad decision, right? Then, you know, I always talk to them, I say, look, I have to defer to your doctor. You have to make the decision ultimately, right? And I want you to sit with, do you want, you know, to have your stomach stapled and lose access to your stomach secretions, lose access to your duodenal secretions, and then have all your food go right into your jejunum and run the risk of Crohn's disease? I mean, just tell them anatomically, physiologically, what that process is. That's what this process is. They may not explain that to you, but if you have this stomach thing, what do they call it? The bypass, right? The bypass surgery. If you have this bypass surgery, this is what's going to happen to you. This food is in your stomach for about 5 minutes at most. Typically, it's going to be there 45 minutes to have all the juices going and to prime the rest of your tract. So you can go back to your anatomy physiology and just pull this out of there. And then it's going to go into the duodenum. Well, you're bypassing the duodenum. It's not going there. It's going right into the jejunum. Jejunum's an absorptive surfaces. And what do you think happens if you have undigested food going into the jejunum? Because you missed all the digestive pieces. You're just going to absorb it. The body's going to go, at first, I can't absorb this. But all that stuff is going to grate and grind and aggravate and inflame that lining until it does open up and you have a leaky gut in the stomach, the contents pass, and a lot of people develop Crohn's disease. So explaining the process, finding out what the gastroenterologist is recommending, and say, look, I can't tell you to do something that is against what your gastroenterologist said, but I can be the one that educates you and explains to you what that process or what that drug does so you can make a more informed decision. Does that make sense? Like, what gastroenterologist is going to say, no, you can't stop eating gluten because you need gluten to survive and have a healthy digestive tract. If they do, then I would highly recommend that they find another doctor. That's typically what I will say. If I think their gastroenterologist is way off, I'd say I'd get a second opinion if I were you, and maybe a third, because yeah, I think there's something missing in their understanding of it, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because especially if it is a serious condition, like a Crohn's or an ulcerative colitis, the doc's going to tell them, here's your steroids. You're going to be on these for the rest of your life. Meanwhile, you're saying, don't eat this, don't eat that, do this, do some liquid only. You know, you're doing things that are going to help them to clear it up. And Brandon can speak to that really well because he's done that himself, right? Versus the surgery and the steroids for the rest of their life. So you have to just walk gingerly. Again, going back to slide 2, which I said, you're always explaining, this is not to replace, but this is to augment. And I want to educate you so you can make those some good decisions. And if I were you, I'd get a second opinion. Okay. Anybody else? Oh, here's Lynn. Yep, Lynn. Your hand is up.
There you go. So one of the things that, if I listen to you, that really seems to become clear to me is that we need to be really grounded in who we are, what our message is, and what we can offer people. Because then we'll be really clear on some next steps for them. You know, you meet them at the grocery store, you know, I've been at my favorite aisle is the produce aisle. And so I'll be talking to somebody or I'll hear them talking and I'll come over and I'll say something. And rather than just leaving it, it's like, you know, but I can tell you more. And so you're just always really clear on who you are and what your message is, because that is what people need is, I've got this information. Now what do I do with it? And exactly. So I just, that for me is what keeps coming up here.
They're hungry for education as long as you don't overwhelm them. And the more you understand about how the process works, if you don't understand where the duodenum is and what its function is, then how are you going to explain to them, you know, how to handle what their gastroenterologist is? So that's why we go into a lot of in-depth science, because there are a lot of health coaches out there that are giving bad advice because they don't understand the science. Right. Yeah. Cool. Anybody else? Our hand. Okay. I hope this was helpful. And thank you a lot for being here. I'll unmute your line so you could say goodbye to each other and we'll be off. I'm going to go jump in the pool. I'm a little hot. Bye, everybody. Thank you for being here.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.